I'm juggling a lot of papers up here, which maybe is befitting a season that feels as full as this one. Today is the first Sunday in Advent. Here in front is the Advent wreath and candles, which we'll be lighting together throughout the month. After worship today, we also have this Advent brunch kicking off this season, this time together, where we'll be sharing, as Pastor Chris noted, ideas for keeping Christ at the center of our season in the midst of all that seeks to distract us. And maybe you're wondering, what is this season, this Advent? Maybe the church tradition you come from didn't celebrate it, or maybe you want just a little refresher. Advent is the season of the Christian year that is marked by expectantly waiting for the coming of Christ. The word comes from the Latin advenio, which means to come. And it is during these weeks leading up to Christmas that we are preparing again for Jesus to come into the world and into our hearts anew. One of the favorite elements of Advent for many people is great singing. You've heard some of the songs today, and we're looking forward to Christmas caroling with kazoos in a couple of weeks. But during worship, in the weeks leading up to Christmas, we don't actually sing Christmas carols. Did you know that? Maybe you did know that. You remember that Christmas carols are reserved until the time of Christmas, when we're sort of joyfully proclaiming Jesus coming. And in this season of Advent, we sing songs of expectation, of waiting, of longing, of wondering and watching. And so it's fitting, I think, that we have a sermon series during these weeks entitled Songs of the Season. And we're going to have a chance to follow the lectionary text each week as it goes through and to tie in one of the hymns that we sing with that scripture passage. This week it was Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. It's a song about expectation. And that is what we're talking about today on this first Sunday of Advent. Will you pray with me? Let's pray. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us today. Give us ears to hear, and Lord, give me your word to speak. Amen. So as you heard in the scripture passage today, Jesus was talking about the coming of the Son of Man and describing how unexpected and surprising this event would be. He says, "Keep awake, therefore, because you do not know on what day your Lord is coming." And it might strike you as curious that he's talking about himself in the third person, in the future tense. And that's a little bit confusing, isn't it strange? Because you see, Advent, or the coming, is a time when we prepare for Jesus coming at Christmas, coming in the form of this baby coming into the world. But it also serves as a reminder that we also expect Christ to come again. So there's sort of a doubling in this season, a waiting and watching towards Christmas, but also a kind of eschatological future hope of Christ coming to the world. So we're meant to be expecting. But do we really expect very much? Do you really expect very much this season? Season marked by preparation and expectation. What are we really hoping for, or watching for, or waiting for? Can we really experience Christ coming into our midst again? There's a rabbi named Joseph Telushkin who relates a story about a Russian Jew of an earlier century who was paid 1 ruble each month by his community, by his community council where he lived, to stand at the outskirts of town so that he could be the first person to greet the Messiah when he came. They were waiting for the Messiah. He'd be the first person. And this was his job, and a friend of his asked about it because it was such low pay. 1 ruble a month. It's not that much. And he asked him, he said, what's this all about? And he said, well, it's true, the pay is low, but the job is permanent. There's another first century observer named Yohanan ben Zakkai who once said this: "If you should happen to be holding a sapling, a little tree, in your hand, when they tell you the Messiah has arrived, first plant your sapling, then go and greet the Messiah." His point, I suppose, is that with so many rumors and false starts, it doesn't pay to be too expectant that Christ is going to show up. And maybe you feel a little bit like that today. Maybe you've become a little bit cynical about experiencing Christ in this season. Well, not everyone is, I don't know if you are, I guess maybe that's an assumption, but not everyone has this kind of feeling that nothing can happen, a lack of expectation. I wonder if the date October 22, 1844 means anything to you. October 22, 1844? I'll bet it means something to Rick Taylor, our resident church historian. He's nodding. This was the date. You got it. Someone else? You got it. This is the date when a guy named William Miller calculated, using biblical prophecy, calculated as the coming of Christ. This is the date that Christ was coming again. October 22, 1844. And he did this by sort of tabulating all the prophecies and all of the different events in the Bible and putting them together with his advanced personal Bible study. I'm not sure how he did it. And he got to this date. And so people who were following him became called, came to be called Millerites. Millerites. And their main message was, Christ is coming soon. In fact, he's coming on this date. So they started telling people about it. They started going out and telling people, Christ is coming soon. Prepare your hearts. He's coming. And people who started following him said, well, should we start our own church, our own denomination, and maybe tell people to come and they can hear about this? He said, no, there's not enough time. We can't stay in your churches. Let people know that this is going to happen. And I don't know about you, but I checked my calendar today, and it's 2008. You know, this day came, and this day passed. Thank you, Eva, for the laugh. And nothing happened. It's 2008, it's not 1844. Oh, shoot! I did that when I was practicing, too. I'm expectant. Future looking. It's 2007. I checked my calendar. But this day came, and this day went, in 1844. And nothing happened. It came to be called the Great Disappointment because nothing came of it, even though they had been so expectant. And some of those folks stayed together. They banded together still. And they came to be called the Adventist Church. Maybe you know it today as the Seventh-day Adventists. This was part of their roots. And so what a strange Bible story it is, hearing these words of Jesus during Advent. He's telling his disciples to keep watch, to stay awake, to be alert, because something is going to happen. He tells them to expect it. And Jesus was certainly not talking about the Advent season that we are celebrating today. As we know it, he wanted them to live instead expectant lives all the time. But it's hard to live expectant lives all the time. Always waiting on the edge of your seat for something to happen, waiting for a promised future you're not sure when will arrive. And so it was with these Millerites or Adventists. You know, for them they had a date certain, October 22, that they were looking towards. And like these folks, we are also called to live expectantly, to yearn for God in our lives and expect that our God will come to us. This is the meaning of the Advent season. God is coming. That Jesus is coming. The part that we have to play, it seems, is to wait expectantly. To prepare ourselves. To make room in our hearts that he might enter in. And thankfully, while those Millerites had that October 22nd date, we also have a date. Maybe it's December 25. This season only runs for so long, a season marked by expectation and waiting, preparing him room. So this is what it's all about. But it's hard to do, isn't it? Hard to be expectant. Maybe you're a little jaded about the whole thing. How you think, does this apply to me? How is this talk of expectation going to matter when I still have to hustle around and get all those gifts? I still have to go to all those holiday parties. Not so bad. I still have to sit in all that mall traffic. And I guess the only answer that I have for that is to come and experience expectation. to try it out. Try it out. One way you can do this in our Advent brunch today is to sit around a table and share ideas, what your family does to keep a sense of expectation that Christ might come again this season. You might put together an Advent journal. We have all the stuff back there. You can put it together, an Advent journal of daily readings. You might put together an Advent wreath. Instructions are also in the back. And light a candle at your dinner table each night as you prepare and read just a line of scripture. Being expectant. There are a number of ideas in the back. You can check it out. And you know, right here in worship today, we also have another chance to experience expectation. It'll happen at this table of communion. As we receive the elements of bread and cup, we expect to experience Christ anew in our lives. We expect that the presence of God will be in this place, will be in this time. So as you approach communion in just a few minutes, I hope you will come with an expectant heart, knowing that God will meet you there. And as we close today, I just want to share a poem with you. It's entitled, Be the Faith I Need. And I don't know who the author is. It's kind of an unknown author. You might have noticed that it's printed in your bulletin. You can follow along. But it speaks to some of the things we've been talking about. And maybe it will speak to you. Listen. I've given up waiting, God. It's too hard to keep asking how long. When I read the prophets and find their questions just the same as mine, but thousands of years older. I read the paper. I look at the world right outside my window, and even the world that's inside of me. And I have to wonder whether you've got it right. And to be honest, if I'm asking the same questions as Isaiah did, when, God, when? Then what difference did this birth make? But it's a season for miracles, and it will probably take that. For you to wade through my weariness and theological correctness and endless justifications of the kind of God you are. So in spite of my cynicism, come, Jesus. In spite of my faithlessness, bring love to the earth. In spite of all I know to be rational and true, be born again. Come, Jesus, be born again. Amen. I invite you to continue in worship with me as we